And I'm once again down here in Beaumont Hospital talking to Sheila Campbell, who is no stranger to Near FM. Good morning, Sheila.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Now, we're in this lovely building here today, which is part of Beaumont Hospital. Just tell us a little bit about this.
So we're here in the Royal College of Surgeons Education and Research Centre. And the Royal College of Surgeons is the teaching hospital. So all the doctors that intern here in the hospital come from the Royal College of Surgeons. And so this centre here is to support the students on campus who are studying medicine. And so there's lots of great facilities here in the building, which has been recently renovated. And as you can see, it's a fantastic space.
And there's a lot of activity happening here today.
But at the same time, we still see 9,000 patients annually here in the hospital who come with breast issues. And so what happens is they are obviously becoming aware of some change in their breast. They go to their GP, and the GP sends them forward here to the hospital or refers them on here for further investigation, really to rule out breast cancer or to diagnose it if it is a case that whatever they're looking at is a breast cancer. And so between first-time patients and patients who are returning to the clinic for follow-on checkups, the service sees 9,000 patients a year. And that's growing all the time. And the reason for the growth is really down to the growth in the population area in the catchment here in Beaumont. Also because more women are breast aware and know what to look for. And thirdly, really, it's a sign of recognition from GPs and primary carers that the hospital has a great service and they're sending their patients here for that follow-on checkup.
So what's happening here now today then?
So what we're doing today is, as I said, because we have such a huge volume of patients now coming annually with breast cancer, there really is a great need for a separate building for them to be seen from. So at the moment, you know, the breast clinics, there's 13 a week. They can be chaotic, there can be delays, there can be no seats for people, there's no real great privacy for people who are having mammograms to change, and conditions are very cramped down in the radiology unit. So what we're doing today is launching a 1 million euro appeal to raise the final amount of money needed to build a new breast clinic just beside this building here on the Beaumont campus. So in future, patients will be coming through their own front door. The only thing that will be treated in the building is, you know, issues to do with the breast. It'll be a modern clinical environment with specialised seating area, brand new mammography machines, state of the art, Thomas Cetus's 3D mammography machines. Everything will be just more comfortable, more spacious, and more efficient, really, at the end of the day.
So you said the final amount. How much have you raised so far?
So 4 million is already banked for this project. And that money has come from private donors and a small amount from state funding. So it's really up to us now to try and make the final million. The project is going ahead. The construction work is out to tender at the moment, and hopefully the building will begin at the end of the summer, with the completion date expected for September 2020. So the first patients hopefully will be walking through that door in 2020, but we still have that last 1 million to finish the building and get it up and ready to the point where it's open and running.
So today is the day when you're trying to make that.
Yeah, so we really just want to get a message out here in the community that, you know, we all know somebody who's had breast cancer, whether it's in our own family or within our friends or someone at work. You know, you don't have to throw a stone far to hit somebody that you know who's had the disease. And I suppose, you know, what we want to do is there's great facilities in other parts of the city, and we really want to be able to say that Dublin's Northside has the same sort of a clinic where women can go and be treated in, as I said, in a space that gives them the dignity and the level of care that they should be getting. And with that as well, obviously, you know, the problem here in the hospital is when patients are coming at the moment, they're sent all over the hospital for scans and then back to the unit. And so it really is. And if you're worried and you're concerned that you might possibly have a cancer, it can be a very anxious time. And you know, it just seems unfair to have to send people all over the hospital when really what they should be doing is getting their assessment in one place, and this new building will allow that to happen.
Right, and it might be a quicker time as well getting results, because that is...
Yeah, there's going to be 8 consultation rooms where at the moment in the outpatients department you could be waiting beside someone who's a broken leg to see, you know, in the clinic. Mm-hmm. Now it'll be just for breast only. Things will move much quicker, and overall it'll be much more efficient for the doctors and for the patients.
And Sheila, I know you've been involved with the foundation for many a year now. How is it going? It seems to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, we're getting busier all the time, you know, this is a great project for us, because it's a really, you know, it's great to think that the project already has 4 million in the bank, and really what we want to do is just urge everybody in the community to do what they can to, you know, take part in the funny in the mini marathon, to, you know, come on one of our events, to make a donation, to do something, no matter how small, to do something to make that money, you know, to make the target that we're looking for.
Right. So, listen, good luck today. I hope it all goes well, and I hope you get the rest of the money, which I'm sure you will, because I know you're very determined, and you do succeed in all the things that you have gone over the past many years we've been talking to you, and it's going from strength to strength. So thanks a million, and good luck today.
Thanks, Debbie. It's very kind of you.
Talking to Eileen now. Good morning, Eileen.
Morning.
Tell me what you're doing here today.
So today I'm here singing with the Sea of Change Choir, and we are semi-finalists in Ireland's Got Talent. So 31st of March, we will be back live on stage. So we'll be looking for everybody to vote for us.
Great. So remember that vote for them. You were absolutely brilliant. I've seen that episode, and you got the gold buzzer straight away into semi-final. Well done. So tell us a little bit about your own story.
So in September 2017, I found a small lump, went to the doctor, sent me for triple assessment, and I've had found then there was actually two lumps. So I had tumour in each breast and in the lymph nodes. So I then had to have three surgeries, 6 months of chemo, and then 7 weeks of radiotherapy. So between the chemo and the radiotherapy, I heard about a strip and dip, which I did just after I finished my chemo, and then went on and did my radiotherapy, and from that came the choir.
Well done. And I spoke to another girl there a while ago about the strip and dip. I actually did an interview about it with the lady. I can't remember who it was, but they were hoping to go for a world record, and I think they got it, what
we
she
did.
Was saying.
You got it, brilliant. Did, yeah.
So you've gone through a lot since 2017, and does breast cancer run in your family, or was it just...
No history of breast cancer at all. And, you know, I did check myself every so often, probably not as much, but I was lucky that the lumps were very small that were both found. And the treatment I received, obviously in Beaumont, was just second to none. So I'm out the other side now, thankfully.
Well done. I know, everyone I have known, a few of my friends are going through at the moment, and the care they get here in Beaumont Hospital is 100%.
Yeah.
But today, just looking at everyone here today and how positive people are, but it just seems to be a bit of an increase, whether people are living longer or we've just been more aware of it, there seems to be an increase in breast cancer.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we are just more aware of it, and maybe it's just people are getting checked and they go for treatment then, and they, you know, it's not the death sentence that it used to be either, you know. I mean, if you catch it early enough, it can be cured. And, you know, the treatment, as I said, I got here, was just brilliant. And it was a lot of treatment. It was very intensive. It was tough. You know, it takes a year out of your life, but it's only a year, and you have the rest of your life then. So they were amazing.
And did you find, as you were going through your treatment, did you get support from any people in the hospital, or did you go... I know there's a place in... down by the Mater Hospital Arc, that they're very good. Did you go for help? Did you ask people? Like, did you talk to people?
Yeah, I did. And I mean, while I was having my treatment, during my chemo, and I got through my chemo okay, but there was a lot of, you know, there was times when I didn't have such good days. And one of the breast care nurses actually suggested to me to go to Arc, and they were just amazing. The support was just absolutely fabulous. So I still attend there, because even though I'm finished my treatment, sometimes it's afterwards that it's harder. So, you know, much as I'm still, and I still come here for my checkups and that, but it's afterwards, the psychological side of it then hits you as well, which a lot of people don't really know about or understand. But no, ARC is absolutely fabulous for that.
So you said you're involved with the choir, you did the strip and dip after you finished your treatment. So how did you get involved with the choir?
So then after the strip and dip, some of the girls decided, Leslie, one of our ladies, decided maybe let's put together a choir. Just trying to carry it on a bit further, because it's such a great group of people and the support is just amazing. And she decided maybe let's put together a choir. And then somebody else said, what about entering Ireland's Got Talent? Which is what we did. And then we got the golden buzzer, and the rest is history.
And would you have a good voice? Or would you have to have a good voice? Because, I mean, when I listened to it that night... on Ireland's Got Talent, I mean, the voices were really good.
Well, I think originally we were going to look at about 30 people in the choir, and then our musical director, Ian Brabazon, suggested 45, because I think with 45 people, you can drown out people who are maybe not so good. But we can't be that bad. We got the golden buzzer, so...
Well, listen, enjoy today. There's a great atmosphere down here, and good luck with the Ireland's Got Talent. I will be voting for you anyway, so thanks a million, Eileen.
Thanks a million.
Now, I'm delighted to welcome to Near FM Senator David Norris. Senator, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you very much indeed, Donny. It's a real pleasure to be here with these wonderful women and their choir and their immense cycling talents. We went on a cycle bus for a photograph. It was great fun.
Senator Norris, can I just ask you, first of all, because, you know, it is a massive event here in Beaumont Hospital this morning, but I'd just like to ask you, what's your connection to this organisation?
Well, my connection is, first of all, they invited me, but I suppose they invited me partly because I had a very serious cancer myself. I had an incurable liver cancer, and it was very aggressive. When the doctor came in, his lip was trembling, and he said, "I have to tell you, you have an incurable aggressive cancer." And I had to put my arms around him and say, "There, there, make him a cup of tea and cheer him up."
Another thing, David, that I noticed this morning, and I find it very striking, we see all the women here and volunteers, and they're wearing T-shirts.
Yes.
"I'm helping to raise €1 million.
Yes.
In the greater scheme of things, in modern Ireland, when we hear of overruns in the billions, not
Absolutely.
Talking about anything
yes.
in particular, but one thing that strikes me is in modern Ireland and in the greater scheme of things, €1 million does not seem a lot of money in 2019, and yet these people are struggling to raise it.
Well, it does when you're trying to raise it. When you're just ordinary individuals trying to raise money, €1 million is an enormous target. And I think they're terrific, and I think they'll do it. I'm sure they'll do it. I mean, they've already got into the Guinness Book of Records for the largest naked swim of women down in County Wicklow. And they are really committed. Many of them, if not all of them, have had breast cancer. And they're so cheerful and chirpy, and they're lovely pink shirts. And I'm quite certain they will. And, I mean, you know, people can get in touch with it through BeaumontFundraising.ie. So if you want to check out this, you just twiddle up on your computer and you'll find BeaumontFundraising.ie, and that's where you can go. And every little penny counts. You know, I always think of the widow's mite in the Bible. You know, people giving huge amounts of money, and then the poor little widow with her one mite, and Christ said, "Well, your mite is worth more than all the rest of it." So even a euro, it'll help people, and it'll be a wonderful thing to contribute to.
And of course, it's €1 less that they have to collect, and it's €1 nearer their target.
Absolutely.
David, I'm just, something that struck me, and I was here slightly before yourself this morning.
Yes.
But something that struck me the minute I walked into the room here, there is a wonderful sense of camaraderie and a wonderful sense of community between all these people. Do you get that?
Oh,
you got to feel it near.
I do. And there's cheerfulness, there's good humour, there's happiness. You know, and you can't force that, and you can't kind of pretend that you're happy when you're not. And I think you've got it spot on. It comes from a feeling of community. One person on her own with breast cancer could probably be isolated and miserable. These women have got together, they're having fun, they're singing, they're doing something positive. They're not just lying down under their illness.
And David, I suppose I can't talk to you without asking you to change hats for the moment.
Yes.
And just comment briefly on the goings-on in the, I think it's the second oldest parliament in the world at the moment in London. You know, it has gone from being, I suppose we were getting irate, to getting mad. What I think at this stage is just, it's only my opinion, I'd be interested in hearing yours, it's almost sad at this stage.
Well, I think Cameron was quite insane to give that kind of referendum, a yes or no on one of the most complex political issues that will take over 1,000 pieces of legislation to accomplish. People didn't know what they were voting on. They voted for all kinds of different nonsensical reasons about immigration, about jobs and all the rest of it. And they're actually going to lose jobs as a result of it. I mean, the car industries are pulling out. It's a disaster. Over 200 financial services operations are migrating from the City of London, more than half of them coming to Dublin. So at least that is one plus for us. But I think it is absolutely insane, and it all comes because people put the issue of party before their country, and that is a disaster. I think they have behaved disgracefully. And I have to say, I do not admire Theresa May, because she was a strong Remainer. Now she is there as Prime Minister, implementing policies with which she fundamentally disagrees. I think that's absolute hypocrisy. And as for Rees-Mogg and... Oh, they're such a collection. They're just a collection of eccentrics from the margins of political life. But because the Parliament is so fractured, they have a disproportionate influence. And it is terribly, terribly sad. I have always felt that the English would, or the British, would dither and fart around. And then at the end of the day, they'd stay in. And I think that's what may very well still happen. But if it does, they'll be very much reduced in their influence.
Yeah, well, it's either actually, I have to agree with you, Senator Norris, it's either going to be one thing or the other. Either they will stay in, or they might actually fall out by accident.
That could easily happen, and that would be a disaster.
And particularly for ourselves.
Dreadful for us. And I have to say, I was horrified by the spiteful nature of the tariffs that they were talking of introducing, specifically targeting our beef industry. I mean, it is absolutely disgraceful. And some unspeakable woman minister... really evoked the spectre of the Great Famine and said they should starve Ireland into submission. What an outrageous thing to say without any sense of historical perspective or the enormous human misery that the catastrophe of the famine visited upon us. I mean, I'm half English. My father was English, but he died when I was 5, and he was in Africa most of the time, so he had no influence on me. I was brought up entirely by my Irish relations, but I am half English, and I am ashamed of them.
And that's a big statement, David. And what's the other thing is, you know, It never ceases to amaze me how certain people in positions of power speak, and it almost sounds as if the empty vessel making the most noise. We had the instance, as you say, of a British politician saying that we should starve the Irish out, quite forgetting that they cannot feed themselves. They are incapable
Absolutely.
Of feeding themselves.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, we had the disgraceful comments of Karen Bradley last week that she tried to walk back from.
Yes.
And the walking back was even worse than the comments.
Oh, that was really shocking. I remember Bloody Sunday very well. And I remember the first reports that seemed to suggest that the first shots had been fired by the IRA. And everybody thought, well, that's terribly sad, but if there were IRA people, and then maybe the army shot back in good faith. But no, they didn't. And I was chilled to hear this morning a recording from Bloody Sunday where a soldier was phoned by the commander, and the soldier said, well, I've seen this fellow. I think he had a nail bomb. I'm pretty sure he had a nail bomb, but he has nothing in his hands now. What am I to do? And the commander said, are you sure he was the fellow with the nail bomb? The fellow said, yeah. And he said, well, shoot to kill. I mean, for goodness sake, to shoot an unarmed person. And this man, we found out afterwards, didn't have a nail bomb either. So they were just absolutely slaughtering civilians. It was an absolutely shocking thing.
And David,
and in my opinion, it's worse because they were the agents of the state. They were supposed to maintain law and order, not to operate outside it, and certainly not to kill civilians in cold blood.
It is an interesting thing, and it's a question that I would maybe you in your position might ask this the next time you're on your feet in the Shannon, or the next time you're on a panel discussion, maybe. I wonder what would the feeling be if that took place on the streets of Birmingham, Leeds or Manchester?
Well, I think there'd be a hell of an outcry. I certainly do. But you see, Ireland has always been remote from England. I mean, the English know nothing of Irish history. And I think that is a really sad thing. I mean, even the parliamentarians, as we've discussed, show themselves to be completely ignorant of Ireland and insensitive in the remarks they make. They need a crash course in Ireland.
And David, before I let you go, you are the epitome and the picture of good health and joyfulness. I have to ask, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm okay. Since the liver transplant, I take a lot of anti-rejection drugs, and some of them are steroids and so on. And that lowers your immune system. So I'm subject to chest. I'm just getting over a frightful chest infection. But apart from that, I'm grand and I'm grateful to be alive. And very grateful to St. Vincent's Hospital, who did the transplant. And they look after me wonderfully, wonderfully well. I think sometimes a little bit too fussy, because they test absolutely everything repeatedly and so on. And they watch me like a hawk, and it's terribly kind of them. And I cannot speak highly enough of them or of the Irish medical system, the Irish health system. It is superb. Yes, there are waiting lists, and that is a problem. That is a problem of management. But on the other hand, hundreds of thousands of people fail to turn up for their appointments, and they waste all that time. So these are sometimes the people who bellyache about it. They should keep their appointments. You know, I think it's a really very, very bad, very anti-social thing for somebody who has a medical appointment not to keep it, because that slot is lost. Another person, if they'd phoned in and said, I can't make it, they could have slotted somebody else in. So I have to say, I would call upon the public to be much more careful in making sure that they attend hospital at the right time when they have an appointment.
Senator David Norris, on behalf of all the listeners at Near FM, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a great pleasure, Donny.
Senator David Norris. Now, I'm joined by Caroline McGrath. Caroline, you're very welcome to Near FM. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Caroline, your story, and I suppose we should outline that we are here in Beaumont Hospital for Breast Day. What is your story in relation to this?
Well, I had the unfortunate pleasure of having breast cancer 8 years ago. Very, very small lump. No, turned out that it shouldn't have been a big deal, but it turned out to be more of a big deal than it was. And great for 8 years. I had a great time. And then last July, unfortunately, it came back in the same breast. So I had to get the reconstruction and the breast removed again. And then as a preventative measure, I got the other one taken off as well.
Now, one thing that a gentleman should never do is ask a lady her age, but then again, people who know me will say that I'm not a gentleman. Do you mind me asking, Caroline, what age are you?
Not at all. I'll be 51 on the 4th of April.
So you're dealing with this basically since you were 40?
Yeah, correct.
And does that frighten you that, you know, in an era where we can send people to the moon and bring them back, we can circumnavigate the Earth by satellites in such a split second, you can see what's happening the other side of the world as it's happening live. We all know the amount of money that costs. And yet, in this day and age, we are still led to believe that there isn't full preventative medication available.
Yeah, that's a good question. I suppose, certainly in my experience, from the time I first had breast cancer to the second time, huge difference in treatment and huge difference in things available. The basic stuff is still the same, your operations, your maybe your chemo, but there has been huge difference in the last 8 years. And I think this is why we're all here today. Research is the most important thing. They have to just keep, because it keeps changing and everybody's different. It's one individual thing for everybody. So you can't kind of paint everybody with the same brush.
Caroline, I was speaking, as you know, there before you joined us too, Senator David Norris, and there was a question I asked him, and I will ask you the same question. All the T-shirts here this morning are, I'm helping to raise €1 million. In the Ireland of 2019, when we all hear some of the money that's been bandied about and talked about on media and other outlets, €1 million seems very, very little money. Does it annoy you as a breast cancer sufferer that you're struggling to raise what is, in modern terms, small enough money?
Well, it does, but on the other hand, everybody's looking for money. All different departments are looking for money. Breast cancer is only one form of cancer. So you've got the esophagus cancer, you've got cervical cancer. I mean, there's just so many, and everybody's looking for the same pot of money. So, as usual, it comes down to the public and the people of Ireland to make a difference.
And it was a point I made this morning, and I'm going to ask you about it, because you're sort of, you know, we're sort of on the outside looking in, whereas you're on the inside looking out. There is a fabulous sense of community here this morning, and it's an uplifting experience for us to be here, but there's a real sense of joy and community among all the women here.
Absolutely, and I think the reason for that is because everybody has gone through it in some shape or form, so everybody can relate to each other. They know, you know, they know how lucky they are to be here for a start. Some people aren't as lucky, and I think when you're given a second chance like that, you know, your whole outlook on life and your view of the world changes completely.
And that's an interesting thing, Callan. Can you just expand on that slightly? When you say that, you know, it really causes you to recalibrate life. You were saying like that things which would have been important or maybe more important to you before are just not on your radar anymore?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, as my friends will tell you, don't ask me to do something if you really don't want me to do it, because my answer will always be yes. Yep, travel, whatever anybody asks me to do, I'll go for it. You know, I don't look back, I look forward, and I'm just glad to be here.
Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Hi, Carenza here.
Carenza, yeah, typical me getting names wrong. Tell us a little bit about why you're down here today.
Okay, well, we're here to support the hospital, and they're trying to raise funds now to get the last million for their breast clinic. And a few of our choir, we're the choir of the Sea of Change Choir, and we got through to, we got the golden buzzer from Denise Van Outen in Ireland's Got Talent. And we just want to bring awareness to a lot of the women in our choir. A few of the women, I should say, in the choir have been treated here. And it's all very close to our hearts. 22 of the women in the choir have either gone through cancer or are still going through it. So.
Brilliant. And, I mean, that was some act on Ireland's Got Talent a couple of weeks ago. It was amazing. I seen it myself, and I don't watch it every week, but I seen it that week. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. And as I said, you got the golden buzzer, so you're right through to the finals, is it?
The semi-finals.
Brilliant.
31st of March, Mother's Day.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Mother's Day.
Great. And as I said, we're no strangers here to Beaumont, because we know Sheila does a lot of work here with the foundation. But today's a really special day for the breast clinic.
Yeah, today they just want to bring awareness, to get the funds raised to make that final million. They've already raised, is it, 3 of the 4 million to get the breast cancer wing. And so this is for the final push.
Great, yeah, that's great. So every penny helps, and every little bit out there, it does help.
Yeah.
So today you're going to be singing in the choir. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, the choir, we all became sisters by doing the strip and dip last year. Again, it's for Avine's Pink Tie, and we've raised over 700,000 to date with the charity. And we actually sang the song "This Is Me" on the day, and then one of the ladies in the choir thought it'd be the dip. Thought it'd be a good idea to put a choir together and go through to Ireland's Got Talent, try and get more awareness for cancer, and to help, you know, what the government isn't doing for us.
Exactly.
And like we bought a house this year together. It's called Avine's Pink Tie. They've bought a house called Avine's Lighthouse, and it's a respite house for families with children who are having to suffer undergoing cancer.
I actually did an interview with Avine's dad last year as well. He was talking about this, so about trying to get the accommodation for parents, especially coming up from the country and you're far away from home and it's with family and that. So really, really great cause. Listen, thanks a million for talking to us today, and looking forward to hearing you in the choir.
You're welcome. And don't forget to vote for us, Sea of Change Choir.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm down here in Beaumont Hospital talking to Mary and Siobhan. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Well, it's afternoon now at this stage. We're down here today. I've spoke to a few people about the choir that's going to be singing here today, and Sheila, about raising money for the new breast clinic. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. How come you are involved with the choir?
Well, we did a skinny. We broke a world record. We did a skinny dip last year on Mahamore Beach in Wicklow, and we raised over €500,000 for Avian Pink Tie. It's a children's charity, and we. Some of the girls got to talking, and they just said, "What about if we put a choir together?" Because we had sang the song "This Is Me" on the morning of the dip, and we got a choir together, and then we applied to go on Ireland's Got Talent, and then the rest is history. We're on the semi-finals now on the 31st of March.
Great. I was in that from Eileen. She was saying that how she got involved. Now, I know a lot of ladies here are either going through cancer, some sort of cancer, or have come through the other side, but both yourself, Mary and Eileen, haven't. So you've just decided to come get involved with the organisation, with the choir and that. Tell us a little bit about your own story, Mary.
Well, I'm actually here because my brother died of cancer, and so did my father and both my grandfathers. But I got involved with Strip and Dip as a steward last June in Harrymore Beach in Wicklow, which is very close to where I live. And it was so much fun and such an empowering day and for the women. And we just kind of kept in touch with each other. And then when I heard the news on our Facebook page that there was going to be a choir put together, and we were asked, like, put your name down if you'd like. And so many people put their name down for the choir that the names were just drawn out of a hat. And this is how I come to be here. When I saw my own name coming out, I go, oh, my God, I got the jitters. But then I said, oh, heck, I'll go for it. And I haven't regretted a minute of it. Between the Golden Buzzer and Ireland's Got Talent, who'd have thought it, like, this time last year? Who'd have thought we'd be here now and mixing with the high fly, Senator David Norris chatting us up and everything. I'm sure it's just amazing.
It's great, and there's a great atmosphere here today. And well done. As I said before, it was a great set on the night of Ireland's Got Talent to get the Gold Buzzer.
Can I just say the name of our choir is, what is it?
Sea of Change.
Sea of Change, that's it. And choir on Facebook. And please vote for us, vote for us, vote for us. We're on the telly live show at the 31st of March. Please vote for us.
Which is Mother's Day.
Well, true. Well, definitely, we'll get out there. Listen, thanks a million for talking to us today.
No problem,
and good luck with that. We'll be tuned in on the night, and everyone will vote for you.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Just to get proceedings kicked off, if I may. First of all, I'm Paddy Delaney, and I'm the manager of the Charity Foundation here in Beaumont Hospital. So I just have a small sort of MC-type role today. Welcome to the RCSI Education and Research Centre. I think we all know why we're here today. From this foundation perspective, we need to raise €1 million over the next 18 months to enable us to build and fit out a new dedicated breast care clinic here in the hospital. The really fabulous news is that the million that we need to raise is the last million of five that is required to build a clinic and to fit it out. Already a sum of about €4 million has been raised or committed, largely through the efforts of Professor Arnie Hill and the breast care team here in the hospital, Breast Cancer Ireland charity, and also through the support of the new hospital CEO, Mr. Ian Carter, who's it's great to see you here today, Ian. Also, just if I may, on behalf of the foundation, can I also just acknowledge and welcome two of our board directors, our voluntary board directors, Walter Hobbs and Nick Davies. So look, we're here to launch this fundraising campaign. As I say, we're seeking to raise the residual million over the next 18 months. And we're hoping we can engage you all in that process and help us to deliver a world-class facility for our patients here in the hospital. Now, the first thing I have to do today is to introduce you to a man who you will all know and literally requires little introduction, but we'll go through the motions and give him an introduction anyway. Senator David Norris is kindly here today, and he has volunteered to help us to launch this campaign. What can I tell you about Sandra Norris? Renowned civil rights activist who has delivered some extraordinary outcomes, I think, for this country over the past however many decades you want to acknowledge, David. We all know him as a former Trinity College lecturer and famed Joycean scholar. He is a member of the Oireachtas, and I'm not sure if he knows this himself, but he is now the second longest serving member of Seanad Éireann, with approaching 32 years service, your 32nd anniversary next month, David, so congratulations for that. Only another three to go if you want to beat the record. And David, of course, was also a candidacy for the presidency of Ireland in 2011, and I'm sure we all remember that campaign.
I certainly do. But the good news is, after all the lies that were told about me, I took 10 live elections, won every single one of them, put half money into a flat in Bald's Bridge, it's an investment. The other half of the prize bonds on the Thursday before Christmas, I won $50,000, which I gave to my niece.
With a litigation record like that, David, I think you need to speak to Dennis O'Brien. And perhaps the most qualifying aspect of David's recent life is the fact that he has himself had his own experience with cancer. And of course, that makes him uniquely qualified to help us in what we're trying to do today. So, may I just ask David to please take the stage? Senator David Norris, folks.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm absolutely delighted to be here. I have to say, when I came in here, first of all, I was nearly knocked off my feet by a waft of cheerfulness, good humour, and positivity and laughter from these wonderful, wonderful women. I haven't got the slightest doubt that they will raise the million. And anybody wants to know how to do it, just go to BeaumontFundraising.ie. That's the message that has to come out. Well, I've known a number of people who have breast cancer. Down the bottom of my road, there's a wonderful news agency run by Patty Duffy, and her sister married Larry Gogan. She was a wonderful, beautiful woman. She got cancer and she sadly passed away. Same thing happened to the proprietor of the garage, Westbrook Motors, which was very, very sad. But I have an 80-year-old cousin. She's just been diagnosed. She's doing wonderfully. She is going to live on and survive, and she's traveling all around the world, and she's an example to me, not to you. You don't need the example of positivity. I also had a friend, Bill Hughes, who's a big television man. He got cancer of the breast. I didn't know men could get it, but a small number do get it. And he had the mastectomy and everything, poor fellow. One in eight women get cancer of the breast. I didn't know it was as high as that. So it is a really, really severe problem that needs to be out there in the public attention so that we can get the facilities to look after. I congratulate you on your naked swim. I'm only sorry I didn't get an eyeful of that one. Yes. Even me, it would have been rather fun to see it. I had, yes, as Dr. Delaney said, I did have cancer. And really, the extraordinary thing was, the doctor came around. I'd been complaining and feeling a bit off and so on, and going back and forth to doctors and doctors and doctors. My doctor came around to me and he said with a trembling lip, "I'm afraid you have cancer. It's aggressive and incurable." And I had to put my arms down him and say, there, don't worry about it. Make him a cup of tea, put my arms down him and cheer him up. And then I went into Vincent's Hospital. It was absolutely wonderful. You know, three hot meals a day, gossip with the nurses. If you let a fart, they change the sheets. Absolutely fantastic. and I had two wonderful experiences. When they were preparing me for the operation, they shave you and they put on a little kind of a doily thing on you. And just as I was going to sleep, one of the doctors came along and said, "How are you today?" And I sat up and I said, "Bloody gorgeous, wouldn't you agree? I put on my frilly knickers just for you." And I went to sleep. I went to sleep watching the puzzled face of the surgeon. And on another occasion, you know the way these hospital gowns are? You know, they leave your bum open. And I was high as a kite on morphine, and I went sailing off down the corridor to see what was going on and so on. And suddenly I was jumped on by this woman, and I said, "Unhold me, you, unhand me, you harpy, you harridan, you trollop, how dare you? I wasn't near the bank, it's not my gun, they're not my fingerprints. I demand to be represented by a lawyer. I am an Irish citizen. What do you think you're doing?" Oh, she said, "I'm covering your modesty." But I said, "Well, there you are, you see. You're a liar as well as everything. How can you cover something I've never had? I have never been modest." So I just wanted to say thank you so much for being you, for being so marvellously positive. I think it's great that you're together as a group. And I think this is wonderful. Now, I'm taking a risk saying this, but I did think of Christ and the 10 lepers. And he cured 10 lepers, and only one of them came back. And I think that's all sad. But the whole bloody lot of you came back. Well, the risk I was saying, you might think I was calling you lepers, but I'm not. I'm saying that you are absolutely wonderful and pink and vital and alive and going to go on enjoying life thanks to the wonderful care given to you by the surgical team here, some of whom I've had the pleasure of meeting, but they are the often unsung heroes. And you came back to give back to the hospital that gave you life. So thank you very much, and on with the fundraiser.
Thank you, David. Just to clarify, I am a mere mister, as opposed to a doctor, but my mother would be very pleased to hear you call me that. Anyway, moving on swiftly, Sea of Change behind me. Some of you may know that Hozier this week launched a new album, and it immediately went to number one in the Billboard charts. But the ultimate musical accolade has been achieved by Sea of Change, who got the famous Golden Buzzer on Ireland's Got Talent very recently. So we're very, very pleased to have Sea of Change with us. David has hinted, I know a lot of the group have had their own experiences with cancer. And again, David, just to emphasize, they did meet in a world record attempt at a dip in the nip in Wicklow. So, a successful world record attempt at a dip in the nip. So well done for that, in fairness. So just to say, we wish the group every success in the semi-final, the forthcoming semi-final of Ireland's Got Talent. And 31st of March, so get voting. So look, guys, welcome to Sea of Change. It's lovely to have you with us. And if we put our hands together, please, Sea of Change.
They say, 'cause we will love you as you are, but Won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for me.
The next person who's going to join me up here is Cyan. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Cyan. Cyan Gray. Cyan is the next patient in Beaumont, mum of three, who also finds the time to be head of marketing in Lidl. So Cyan is just going to share a little bit of her story with us. So you're very welcome, Cyan. Thank you.
I wish I could sing, but I certainly can't. I've been asked to give a patient perspective on what we're trying to achieve, and I'm really honoured to be here amongst all these incredible women. I myself was diagnosed with breast cancer in January last year, 2018. My world fell apart, as I thought, and I went into, I suppose, a turmoil and a whole new world of not about my children or my career, but about hospitals, and met some amazing people. But really, I think I was very grounded by everything that was happening around me. While I was trying to come to terms with this change and after operations and treatment, what really kind of struck me was, while the care is exceptional, and I really, really believe that I had the best team and still continue to be treated by the best team here, it was hard, it was difficult in terms of the environment that we are in. In terms of that, we did have to try and find our way through a very large hospital, try and, you know, find our way to different parts of the hospital that were difficult to find. And this new centre will allow everything to come under one roof. And that for me is going to be incredible, not just for us ladies here, because I think some of us will continue to use the facilities, but for the new patients who are coming down the line. So I myself, I'm really, really proud to be part of this fundraising initiative. As was said, there's 4 million that's already been committed, so 1 million left to raise. I think we can all do it here in this room. I myself, my husband is getting his legs waxed. I don't think he has a clue what's in it. But he's doing that for us. I'm also going to take part in the women's mini marathon because I have to get fit again. And the world goes on, you know, life goes on, and we need to really do everything we can to make sure that the women ahead of us and And as I said, us ladies here get the best treatment which we have through the best facilities possible. So thank you so much, everyone, and let's get fundraising. Thank you.
Thank you, Sian. Fabulous. I deliberately haven't told you anything about the facilities that are planned or the ambition, the vision. And I want to ask Professor Arnie Hill to share some of that with us. Arnie is, and I have a list of who he is, and this is just a tiny bit of it. He's a consultant breast surgeon here in the hospital. He's chairman of surgery in the hospital. He's head of the medical school in RCSI, and probably loads of other things besides. Arnie, as I understand it, has had this vision since he first came to Beaumont, going back more than a decade ago. And I know he's been doing Trojan work in his own right and with the team here over the years, and also with the help of Breast Cancer Ireland. And I'd like to invite Arnie now as our final speaker to just give us a sense of what his vision is and why it is and what it is that we're hoping to achieve. So, Professor Arnie Hill.
Thanks very much, Paddy, and thank you for everyone being here. It's just wonderful, that music. Could you come every day? The feel-good factor is fantastic. About everyone who's here today, there's an enormous number of people here. David, we're so pleased you're here. You're such a wonderful speaker. I love to see you. I told everyone should read his book as well, by the way. It's a real eye-opener. But what we're here about today is making our facilities here better. I think we've got a great team here of doctors, nurses, everybody who looks after our ladies with breast cancer. And it starts at that very difficult time when the information is imparted that, yes, you do have this disease, but it's a disease we're making great changes in. I'm actually looking after ladies with breast cancer for 20 years now, and the changes that have happened have been extraordinary. And I'm no doubt, I'm on record as saying I want to make myself unemployed because I'd love not to be operating. But I think we're making great progress. There's parts of this disease that we've really captured and made a difference, and that the drugs can be really successful. And I think we're on a journey here where in this new facility, what we're looking for is first of all to make it a better environment, and I think women are entitled to that. This concept of walking around a big campus that you can't actually find and follow the signs. It's like kind of almost a game before you get your mammogram. We've got to change that. But intrinsic to this building is a clinical trials research unit. And that is where we're going to eradicate this disease. Our vision is that everybody who comes and is in care here in Beaumont Hospital and across the country, they have the facility and the option of participating in clinical trials. And Dr. Patrick Morris, who leads that unit here, brings the very best of international excellence to allow us to make a difference in this disease. It's that research unit that allows, first of all, our patients to get the very best care and to be part of making a difference in beating this disease. So on the ground floor, we'll have our diagnostic imaging unit. On the first floor, we'll have our clinical rooms for patients to be examined. But on the top floor, and probably the most important, is where the research infrastructure is going to be, the clinical trials unit, to bring it all together, to hopefully change the nature of this disease. We want to take it from being a disease that in the past, when I started, this was a disease that certainly had a poor outcome in certain circumstances. But we're making real progress, but we're not there yet. We want to make this into a condition that might be regarded as a chronic illness. something people can live successful, really vibrant lives. And I think we're very close to making that transition over the coming years. And I think this facility here will help us do that. So I'm so grateful for everyone being here today. It's fantastic to see the support. And most important, I mean, it was just wonderful to hear Sayan speaking. Sayan has been through a really challenging year. It's great to see you looking so well, by the way, Sayan. I'm so pleased for you. But it's all the patients that are here, they're coming back to give something back and make our facilities better for women in the future, to help us all beat this disease. So thank you for being here. And, you know, that music that you sang earlier on, I'm definitely going to be watching Ireland's Got Talent. And I want everyone to vote. They've got to win. So thank you very much.
Okay, folks, that's the end of proceedings. So just huge thank you for everybody coming along. It's very much appreciated. Thank you to people like Senator Norris, to Sea of Change, and to Sayan. We really appreciate you being here. And let's just go and raise this €1 million and let's get this clinic built. I think we all understand that so far. Thank you.